More Idaho Matters now from the studios of Boise State Public Radio News. I'm Gemma Cadet. Pickleball is our nation's fastest growing sport. In fact, pickleball courts seem to be popping up everywhere. Even major pro athletes, including LeBron James and Tom Brady, have actually invested in the growth of Major League Pickleball. Yes, there is Major League Pickleball. Our next guest has taken this latest craze and made it a main character in her debut novel, Pickleballers. Author Alana Long is joining us now to talk more. Alana, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Gemma. How are you doing?
Well, I'm great, and I cannot wait to talk more about the book. But first, give us a brief synopsis of this novel.
Okay, well, Pickleballers, it's a rom-com. It's an enemies to lovers sporty rom-com. It's kind of like if you took The Hating Game and mixed it with the movie Dodgeball. That's kind of where you're going. It starts out with Meg Bloomberg, and her brief marriage just implodes, and her friend Annie drags her onto the pickleball courts because, of course, that is the best place to boost your mood anytime you need a mood boost. And when she's on the mend, her new pickleball community has accepted her, and she feels really good. And she has this sexy encounter months later with this really hot environmentalist, and all is going well until she finds out that this passing fling she had is the same person who is trying to tear down her community's pickleball courts to make way for a nature preserve. And hilarity ensues, as along with, you know, sexual tension and all that sort of stuff. So that's pretty much what happened.
And to try to take down those pickleball courts, right?
Oh,
so
yeah.
I'm curious, why did you decide to use pickleball as such a big part of this novel?
There were a couple of reasons. The first was that I began writing this during the pandemic. And during the heart of the pandemic, when it was so, we were all in lockdown, and things had gotten kind of gloomy. I had some tough stuff going on in my family. And fortunately, I needed something sort of to pick me up. And pickleball was something where you could stand 6 feet apart and just be outside and be around social people, and kind of, it really lifted my spirits. And I thought, if this is lifting my spirits, I'm sure it will lift a lot of other people's spirits. So I started writing Pickleballers. And the other thing that sort of inspired me was the community of pickleballers, which are just these kooky people from all walks of life. And I just realized that I could play with an 82-year-old Olympic ex-rower, and the other guy on the court with me was maybe a 21-year-old university student, and then another person might be a soccer mom, and pretty much all of us could have a good time on the court together, and the personalities were just bouncing off each other. And for me, that was just fodder for finding the joy in pickleball and really using that to as a springboard for my writing.
Well, and I have to say, one of the things I found hilarious was you have all these names for all of these people that Meg and Annie play, right? Because they come to the same pickleball court all of the time. And I kind of love that, how they, it, you know, how they give these nicknames to, you know, to the other pickleballers. And is that a real, because I don't, here's what's funny. I don't play pickleball, but so is that a thing within the pickleball community?
I think it, I don't know if it's a thing within the pickleball community. Certainly it's a thing within my pickleball community, because in all honesty, we do have a million Daves. Dave is the name of people who play pickleball on our court. So I thought I would go with that and give a bunch of different Dave names, like Reflux Dave and Dress Shirt Dave and different Daves, because it is hard to keep track of the Daves. You know, which Dave are you going to play with? And that seemed to be the name that fit really well with what I was feeling. And there definitely are nicknames, because you want to be able to keep track of people. We can show up on a court sometime, and it's open play, it's rec play. So you go, you don't know who you're going to play with. And you're going to always end up meeting new people and seeing old friends. So we can go sometimes and see 60 people on the courts. And
Wow.
I'm pretty much have kind of gotten to know a lot of the people I play with. So of course there's always new people and I love to meet new people, but it's really nice to sort of have that community.
And we should note, you have the book set on Bainbridge Island and the Seattle area. And for folks that don't know, pickleball was actually invented on Bainbridge Island. So what was funny to me when this whole craze of pickleball started is that I grew up in Washington State, and we all knew about pickleball. Like it, I mean, you grew up and you knew what pickleball was. And I know you live in Washington. So I'm really curious about, even though I know there's that, I mean, it seems like a lot more people are playing, probably even in Washington, but it's so funny to me that all of a sudden people have like found pickleball. And I'm like, it's been around since the 60s, just FYI.
Right. Exactly. Well, it's surprising to me because pickleball was born the same year I was born in 1965, as it happens. And as was Barbie. Barbie was born the same year as I
Oh,
was
there you
born.
go.
It was a big year. And Alana Long was born. It was a big year. So, but it was around for a long time. And my husband told me, he grew up here in Washington State. He told me that he played pickleball as part of his gym class in middle school. So people were playing it for a long time. But I do think that the pandemic had a big part in making pickleball go wild just because it was one of the few options for people to be social and be outdoors. So I think that that sort of changed the scene of pickleball and the reaction of people to pickleball. And also, I was a tennis player, a bad tennis player, a very bad tennis player, actually. And actually, I was not an athlete at all my life. Pickleball is really my first true eye-hand coordination sport. I can swim because you can't like fall down and you don't sweat much, or at least you don't notice it. But pickleball is so easy to pick up that everybody can play it, and I think that's why the craze sort of just took off, especially during the pandemic. Like I said, with really older people who were playing it first, and people thought of that as an old person sport. But now, I mean, really, my kids who are 21, they both are pickleball players. My daughter won one of the University of Washington tournaments, doubles tournaments, playing pickleball. So it's very hot right now. It's really coming into its own. In fact, it's the fastest, you probably heard this, the fastest growing sport in America. Last year,
Well,
there
you
were
know,
36 and a half million people playing pickleball, 36 and a half million people playing it. And they're mostly 18 to 34.
what's funny to me though is that, I mean, since it's kind of, there's this craze around it and everyone's playing. I mean, and we've seen pickleball courts go up all over in the Boise area. And I keep saying to my husband, I'm like, I'd like to learn how to play. It's supposed to be pretty easy to do. It doesn't seem that intimidating. And then my 16-year-old, God bless him, was like, "Well, Mom, they have free clinics at the Y, and they're all old like you, so you'll fit right in." And I was,
Thank you very much.
thank you so much. Thank you so much for that.
Oh,
So
I
one of the things I really liked about the book, though, too, is that you just mentioned that the age group that's really getting into this nationally is between 18 and 34. And I do think there's kind of this stigma around pickleball that it is, for older people. I loved that Meg and Annie are younger, and you see Meg, like how, I mean, she really starts to take, at first, like with the divorce, it's just to kind of get her out. Back out there, right? And not like from a dating standpoint, but just to kind of re-engage. And then how it really becomes something that she relies on to like get her through. And you mentioned that you wrote this during the pandemic. So was that kind of part of it too? Was, the own what you were going through when you
Oh,
wrote this?
absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I really needed pickleball at the time, and I just felt like the social experience and getting to know all these sort of also being reinvigorated sort of by playing, with so many different age groups and so many different types of people and people I never would have met under other circumstances. And it just was so invigorating for me to have that sort of opening up of my social world. And now I consider, I have this whole new community of pickleball friends that I would never have met these people under other circumstances, so it's been really good socially for me.
And I know you said this is your debut novel. Have you always written, or what made you decide to? Because I think some people think, well, I'm going to write a book someday, and then it doesn't happen.
Well, it's funny. I have been writing for about, well, I wrote a little bit when I was younger, but I've been writing consistently for about 20 years now. I started by writing a creative nonfiction humor book about raising my twins. And I did that because I was exhausted from just the child
Raising
rearing
twins.
experience. And I needed some kind of outlet. So that was really fun. But then I didn't write for a bit because I was, raising kids and teaching high school English and very busy. And I came back to it when my students, as kind of a project, did this National Novel Writing Month. And they were writing novels. And I thought, gosh, if I'm telling my, 15-year-old students to do it, I could do it. So I started writing a science fiction novel. And that's where I got an agent. And I worked on that novel for about 7 years. And finally, it was ready to send out. And at the heart of that young adult science fiction novel I had written, which I really love, that novel, it was a tragic pandemic. And it was sent out right in spring of 2020 to publishers.
No. Oh my
Yes.
goodness.
So that book was kind of dead in the water, and nobody wanted to touch it because it was just so hard and it was so disturbing. And then I had this hard conversation with my agent. She's like, "I'm going to pull it. We're not going to try and sell it anymore because it's just not going to sell right now. But let's hold on to it for some other day. Let's hope." She goes, "But you should just write something funny because my background's in comedy. I studied comedy, improv comedy at Second City. I was a stand-up comic and did a lot of theater and sketch comedy." So I said, "Gosh, I really should write something funny." And I was starting to play pickleball, and it all just sort of came together in this brilliant amalgam of timing, and I was just lucky to get it out there quickly.
Well, I have to tell you, I am a huge rom-com fan. I mean, I love it. And I know a lot of people might think it's light and fluffy and you don't learn anything from it. And I'm really okay with that because I mean, I love a great story, but I love rom-coms. I love this book was funny, like funny, even how you call like Meg's ex a dink. And I know that's a pickleball term. Like I just stuff like that is just funny. And even like these side characters that we talked about, it's funny. And then when you do put that, that romantic part of it in there, I think it just kind of ups the ante a bit. So I mean, with
Absolutely.
that said, have you always liked rom-coms? I mean, yes, you've got that comedic background, but were you always drawn to this genre as well?
Well, it's interesting. I love to watch romantic comedy movies. That's my absolute favorite movie genre. But I wasn't a big reader of romantic comedies, of romance in general, but I was always a reader, always been a reader. But I wrote this book initially as a comedy and a straight comedy without the romance. And as I was going along, my agent and the publisher really steered it towards being a romance. And it shifted. The whole first Ethan existed in the first book, but he was sort of a minor side character. And then when I rewrote the book, which was quite a job, I rewrote it as a romance, bringing Ethan and Meg's story forward. And that was a challenge to me. But I really love how it came out. I'm so much happier with the book now. I don't know why I didn't sort of see it to begin with. I'm just glad there's other people who have eyes on this book, So that's kind of where I came from with that.
Well, I want to thank you so much for taking time to talk with us. The book was so fun to read.
I really enjoyed it, and I hope y'all enjoy reading Pickleballers.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
No matter what happens in Washington, the NPR Politics Podcast is here for you. For the latest news, insights, and analysis from the election and beyond, listen to the NPR Politics Podcast.